Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
We have a story today, and our client's name is Chris. Now, I've chosen that name on purpose, and you're going to learn why. It's gender neutral. Is that a good way to describe that? Because it can be Christopher or Christine.
Sure.
Yeah, and that ends up playing out in the session. And I picked it also because it's not the person's real name, of course. We never use people's real names. We keep confidentiality. So I can see Chris over FaceTime. And at the beginning of the session, she says, okay, I booked 90 minutes with you. And she says, I want to know about a soul contract with one person. And I'm giving you 90 minutes because I think you're going to need it. And it's my mom. And she said, so go. And then if you have extra time, then I'll do open session again after that. I asked the guides what they wanted to do about the contract with Chris and her mom. And they said, we would like to do past lives. This is going to be perfect. We're going to show them to you. We want you to tell her about them. And then we are going to discuss them with her.
Okay, pause.
Yeah.
Because she asked about soul contracts and you're introducing a different modality, mm-hmm. which is going into someone's past life. And I'm just spelling it out for the listeners that that is not the same as a soul contract. However, by going into individuals' past lives, you can actually see how contracts were weaved together or woven together through lifetimes and how a single contract can actually play out over many lifetimes mm-hmm. in different ways or patterns.
Yeah, thank you.
And in different combinations of roles too, right?
Yes, Kelly. Okay.
Without ruining your story. Go ahead.
No, you just went to the edge of the cliff and then didn't jump.
Well, thank you. Sometimes I hurl you over.
Yes, that's true. Okay, so I explained that to her. I said the guides want to do it by presenting past lives to you. Are you open to that? And she said, absolutely. She said, I'm very interested and I'm very open-minded to past lives. She said, I don't totally understand it, but I'm certain you're going to walk me through it. I trust this. She said, so go ahead, let's start with the first life. And she goes, can I ask you questions? Because I'm also really curious, like, what is happening in your head? She says, I want to know what's happening for you when you get a past life. So it's going to be creepy, but I'm going to watch you.
Isn't that creepy?
Yeah.
Where else are you supposed to look when you're on Zoom?
Yeah. So I said, that's fine. And I'll check back in with you every once in a while to make sure that you understand what I'm saying, that you can ask questions. And she goes, you mean to tell me that I'm allowed to ask questions about my past lives while you're getting the information? I don't have to wait. And I said, no, ask as I'm going through it. That's helpful for me. So the first life presented itself. I got to download that. And I explained to her that in her first life, that her mom was her boss. And she showed that they were lawyers. And that in that lifetime, she started out as a male. Well, pardon me, she didn't start out as a male. She was a male. Her boss was a male. And that she started out with lots of desire to be morally, like, really strong, very ethical about her work. She really wanted to present truth. She wanted clients that she could really believe in. And what happened was the boss was like, nope, money's money. And you're going to take the clients that I tell you to take. And whether they're guilty or not, you're going to defend them. And you're going to skew things. Even if they are guilty, you're going to get them out of things because that's what we do. We have a belief that we represent our client to the best of our ability. And I'll say it got very corrupt.
And the whole concept of criminal defense is corrupt.
I don't know, so I'm just going to...
You don't know?
Well, I just want to stay telling the story.
Go on.
For now. So he, in that life, Chris, and that's why I picked the name Chris, because mm-hmm. we have Chris as Christina, but we have, I'll say Chris now can be used for him in this past life. So Chris, in that past life as the lawyer, really has to sell his soul out to stay working for this boss. And the boss really takes him down a dark road. And is aware of it when Chris starts there and grooms him to pull away from his morals and values to take the clients. And eventually it is really corrupt, Kelly. It goes like right into things that nowadays we would call a mafia, mm-hmm. where it's defending people that purposely break laws and politics in order to help the corporation or the business get away with pollution, whatever it is they want to get away with. And he's really unhappy, but stays in that career and cannot actually leave, even though he decides at one point he would like to. He thinks about it and then realizes, I can't even try to leave because I'm so buried here. I can't really go anywhere else. All of this is going to follow me everywhere mm-hmm. I go. Mm-hmm. And this boss can blackmail me and any other company I go to. So I'm going to be found out wherever I go. Mm-hmm. So this really has ruined his life.
Yeah. This is why suicide happens.
Yeah. So then Chris talks about how he dies in that situation, in that life, never coming out of any of those things, feeling buried under everything that he's done and feeling like he can't cope with all of this stuff. So you've said suicide. So Chris did ask me what happened in that life. And I said, you took your own life because you couldn't see any way out of it. Mm-hmm. And there was just extreme depression plus just constantly being cornered into things.
Fear.
Yeah.
And it's your only exercise of autonomy.
Yeah. So I said, so you die in that life. And Christina says to me, holy geez. Okay. I can relate to some of this stuff of feeling like a cornered animal. I can relate to some of this, not necessarily that I'm feeling suicidal right now, but I can certainly say that I'm feeling depressed, that I'm certainly can relate overall to what you're describing. Could you go on to another life? And I said, yeah. So then we moved into the second life. And in that life, they're married and she is the woman, he is a male, and they are very religious. And in that lifetime, he has power over her as a male. He has power over her because of religious beliefs that she is to, quote unquote, obey. And she sits and looks at me. Yeah, Christina does in the session. And she goes, okay, I see similarities here right off the bat. And
oh, she that's goes, good.
Yeah. And she goes, because again, she says, my mom was raised in religion, raised me in religion. I'm not currently in religion, but my mom tries to still throw those things at me about religious beliefs. And I said, and I'll bet you $10, one of them is that you respect your parents. And she goes, yes. And I said, another one would be things like peace at all costs. And she goes, yes. I said, she probably throws forgiveness at you, like that you have to forgive your father. You have to forgive me. You have to forgive your siblings. You have to stay in this family. It's toxic family, but you have to stay. And the forgiveness thing, take the high road. And she goes, she was just like grabbing her hand, like putting them into these little fists, like, yes. She goes, now, do you say those things because the guides tell you to say those things? Or are you just saying those things because you've been through that?
But, oh, because you've been through that. Interesting. No, the guides.
Yeah. And I said, well, no, I have to say these things because the guides are giving me these things as examples. That's what channeling is, Christina. I said, I'm not. If I grew up in that same environment, I have to state that at the very beginning. I have to ask you permission. I have to say, hey, can I make this about my own life right now?
Yeah.
Can I have to be able to draw a clear boundary that I have exited channeling and put on Karen hat and said, can I relate to you as a human? I said, I do that with all of my clients. And then I also say to them, okay, I'm done. I'm finished Karen role. I'm entering back into your channeling. I do that with all of my clients. I tell them that. So there is never a question. And she goes, okay, then. She goes, okay, we'll talk about this when you're done. You continue. And I said, this lifetime gives her permission, like by faith, I'll say, or by the religion, that he has control over you. And she goes, just tell me something. Do I die in that life, or do I ever get out of that relationship? Do I ever leave? What were we going to say?
Well, it's past lives. They all died. What's the actual?
No, she wants to know if she left before she died.
That's okay. There we go.
Oh, I didn't say it clearly. So thank you for correcting me. And I said, no, I said, you died there. And she goes, okay. She goes, that's important. I'm starting to understand why you're doing past lives.
She exhausted in this life by any chance?
Yeah. She goes, continue. I'm going to ask you for another life. She says, this is really helpful. She says, I like how the guides are giving me the information that I need.
I also really like how it explains for listeners that when someone says to you in this lifetime, your current one, well, just let it go. It's like, bitch, this is four lifetimes deep. Like, I can't just let it go. It's in my fucking DNA.
Yes.
There has to be such a deep undoing and a deep unlearning. You can't just decide, I don't believe that anymore.
Yeah.
It's in your cellular makeup.
Yes. Thank you.
And that's not an excuse to keep doing it, but it's to understand that you need to give yourself grace when it doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah. Yeah. So then we went into the third life. And in the third life, they're siblings. And they are brothers in the third life. And she goes, okay. In the third life, they're brothers. And in that lifetime, they are taught, I'll say, to get along. They're not taught, pardon me. Yeah, that's a good way to word that, actually. Let me continue this.
Go along to get along?
Yes. And they are not taught to feel their emotions.
Okay, so again, keep peace.
Yes.
So there's a thread through lifetimes.
Yeah. They're not taught to say, you're angry. Just sit down and explain why you're angry. Well, you took my toy, or you went into my bedroom and took my things, or you wore my clothes, or whatever it was, right? They weren't taught to talk it out and to set a boundary and say, why did you cross a boundary taking my things, or whatever it was, and then reestablish a boundary. And the other person say, yeah, I've had a pattern of doing this. I better deal with my issue of constantly taking your things. That's disrespectful. There's a lack of respect here in this relationship. So there's no conversation to actually work that out. It's just, he takes my things and I'm mad. It doesn't go down to deeper levels. So when I said that to Christina, she goes, oh, this is explaining how my mom has parented again in this life. So I'm understanding when you even give me that example that my mom has not made any growth from life to life. She's doing the very same things. We're having the same discussions over and over again. This is a nightmare. And she goes, it's a nightmare to me just in one life. I cannot believe that I've done this repeatedly, life after life. So she said, what else happened in that life? I said, whenever there was discomfort in the feelings, your mom / your brother mm-hmm. in that life just took off, gave you the cold shoulder, froze you out, disappeared, didn't want to talk to you. And at first, when you live together, like, you know, in that same house, it could be for a few hours, a few days, it could be for a period of a week or whatever, where there was ignoring. But eventually, as you aged, it moved more into months, it moved more into years, where there was this pattern of, as soon as I don't like what you're saying or doing, your brother just shut the door, don't want to talk to you, don't want to feel what I'm feeling, don't want to problem solve, want power over you, want to continue disrespecting you, I want things to be my way. And this is the only way that I know how to get my way. Because if I sat here and we actually talked it through, I might feel like I'm losing control because you might know more than me and you might be healthier than me. You might be actually capable of working through this with me. And I don't want to give you the opportunity to actually have control by leading us through this together. She sat there and looked at me and she said, you have described all the stuff that's going on. There's a pattern here, life to life, that she has to have control over emotions. She has to have control over actions. She has to have control over what you think, how you respond. She always has to dictate all of it. And she goes, okay. She goes, I appreciate what the guides have done by answering this question or responding to what I asked of you in that I wanted to know the soul contract between my mom and I by going into the past lives. She goes, I've been to therapy. She says, I've been trying to work this out in therapy. So it's helping me place what my therapist has said. And I really appreciate that. And she goes, and I'm also, she says, understanding how much responsibility is on my shoulders about what my behavior is. She said, what I've noticed, what you've done, Karen, is that at no point did the spirit guides bash my mother. At no point did the spirit guides bash me. Mm-hmm. At no point did they say who was wrong or in the fault. They just gave pure facts as to what was occurring so that I could see the situations and go, yep, those situations are still playing out now. But also, I can see patterns from life to life because you gave me three. Now I'm looking at it in my current life going, oh God, I'm seeing that these things are patterns again in this life. So then she says to me, what else do the guides want to say? I'm just going to listen. Now I want just open. And the guides came in and said, what we want to say to you is it's your responsibility to continue in therapy so that you get all of the tools to be able to understand that you have to have enough self-esteem in order to be able to stand up and think for yourself. Your therapist is to help you build self-esteem. And she went, okay, I think we're working on some of that. She says, so what do you mean? And the guide said, your therapist needs to give you exercises, homework, not just the conversation in therapy. You actually need to ask for homework. Mm-hmm. Your therapist is sitting and talking it out and pointing things out to you. Yes, they're doing a good job at that, but they're not giving you the homework so that you actually go out and build self-esteem. That's what we are saying you need to do. So if your therapist says, read this book, follow this podcast, or hear the exercises, you know, that I can give you, then come back to therapy because I want to hear how you did. I want to help you build esteem more. And when you're ready, let's give you more exercises, more tools. There needs to be a whole pattern of growth here. And so far, you're talking about things, but there's no pattern of growth for you. Then the guide said to her, in building self-esteem, you have to connect to your own integrity. You have to figure out what you think, what you feel, what your values are, what your own morals are. And you have to set boundaries once you know what those are. Because what your mom has done life to life is made sure that you don't know what you think, that she knows what your boundaries are, and then she purposely crosses them. And she goes, yes. That's true. We'll even have heart-to-heart conversations, and I think I'm getting close to my mom. And then it's like, as soon as I do that, I know that the shoe's going to drop. And now I'm starting to say that even in therapy, like, well, I had this conversation because the therapist says, go back to your mom and have this discussion, and let's see how it goes. And the guides were saying, no, no, you're not going to do that anymore. Your mom is using that work that you're doing in therapy when you go and have these discussions with her to come back and abuse you and cross the boundary. And we are saying that you're to set those boundaries, but there has to be a consequence to that and that you're not enforcing the consequences with your mom. And one of the consequences has to be no contact.
So Can I reword it?
Yes.
The consequence is less access to you. Yes. Or no access to you, mm-hmm. right? No contact is a great way to put it as well. But I don't think it illustrates the actual effect that it's having on them, right? So when mm-hmm. we say no contact, that's just a thing. It's a noun.
Okay.
When we say the consequence, right, the cause and effect is that the effect is they don't get access to you, mm-hmm. people start to conceptualize if then. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
They also conceptualize that if I behave poorly, I get this thing taken away from me. Right? No contact, mm-hmm. I think, sometimes frames it for people, you know, for Chris in particular, like this is a job, this is a duty I have to do, this is something I have to create and implement. And we start to see it less as a consequence and more as a chore, essentially. Mm-hmm. When you understand that no access to you is the effect of their poor behavior, mm-hmm. then you actually understand that you are doing something healthy for yourself.
Exactly.
That
yeah, it's great.
I think it's just a different way to look at it.
Yep.
That helps people understand it just in a slightly different way.
Mm-hmm. So Chris and I had a conversation around setting that boundary. And she asked the guides, if I go ahead and do that, if I go ahead and withhold communication with my mom, relationship with my mom, will we be able to come back again at some point and move through it? And the guides said no. They said that when Chris finally sets a healthy boundary for herself, that her mom's response would be, well, no, I'm not talking to you. That it would be, no, you can't be the one that says, I want to get healthy and I want to move through this in a healthy way. And if not, then I'm going to set the boundary around communication. That her mom would be, no, 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 I need to be the one doing that. Mm-hmm. And that she would be the one to say, I'm not talking to you for good.
It's called escalation.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So we chatted about that and she said, okay, I can take that to therapy. I can go back to my therapist and prepare myself and say, I'm ready to do that. And I can pick my date and make sure that when I approach my mom, I'm fully aware that she's going to try and do that. But I want to have it in my head that I'm the one that said it and initiated it and got healthy for me. And that's just my mom's shitty behavior. Mm-hmm. So then Christina said to me how happy she was to get all of these messages through all of these past lives so that she could see that lifetime to lifetime, she has been building up to this moment of being able to learn how to respect herself enough to be able to say, I won't be tolerating people who treat me this way. And we had a little conversation there. It was very brief around that her mom was teaching her something that she was actually to carry forward with other people, including in work environments, friends. It wasn't just a mom issue. And that once she learns to respect herself, other people will step up and respect her more, or she will know and be able to go, okay, good to know. They don't respect me. I have the ability to set these boundaries and I have the ability to walk away. And I said to her, there are 8 billion people on this planet. You are not stuck with any one person, no matter what role they play in your life. And she just looked at me and said, thank you. That is something that I can take into my thinking where it gives me more options because I had always felt cornered and stuck. And then our session wound down. And she thanked me for the past lives, for the messages, and for the move forward, so to speak, in being able to go back to therapy and prepare for that final conversation.
Cool. I think it just gives a deeper understanding to her journey. That's the clarity piece, right? Mm-hmm. And relief too, because I think though the word permission never came up, and I'm sure that's not how I really want to frame it, you do hear from the guides, like, this is what's supposed to happen in a contract, which mm-hmm. does feel like permission to be like, sweet, I can do this thing that I really want to do or that I really feel is necessary, but that I felt maybe hesitant to do because I was unsure. So the relief to be like, okay, I've been building up to this moment as you worded it. And then, as you mentioned, to the direction in how to move forward. And she's got support already to help her carry out that direction finally.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. That's an empowering story for a Saturday. Thanks for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, help spread the love with a like, share, or review of the podcast. See you next Saturday with a brand new episode.